Friends of mine, you're going to speak briefly this morning, and we're going to get up and move and do some interactive things over a short period of time. But just reflecting on the last 4 weeks, we've been talking in the morning service about being missional in our community. And Ian Ashby's been speaking in the evening service about overseas mission, cross-cultural mission, and discerning God's call on your life. Could you be called by God to go to short-term or overseas mission? Now, as a church, we're utterly committed to giving our opportunities for our folk to experience short-term mission. And so if you're interested in short-term mission, please go and see one of the missionary team. If you think God's speaking to you about overseas mission long-term, go and see one of the missionary team. That'd be fantastic. In the morning services, I've looked at local mission, and I've been drawing on Dave Mann's material. And Dave Mann's been pointing out through his resources that the world we live in, people no longer believe in absolute truth. And when you talk to your neighbours, to your friends, to your workmates, most folk are spiritual, yes. But they believe all ways lead to God, and there's no ultimate truth. And the best way to get around that and help them rethink what they believe is to ask good questions. And last week, Shania posted on our website 90 wondering questions. They come from a man called Dave Pollock, who wrote a really simple and helpful book called God Space. So 50 years ago, we could have had an evangelist come to church or to the city, and hundreds of people would come to Christ, if not thousands. In today's society, in this culture, in the age we're living in, instead of expecting people to come to church, we have to go to them. And we have to realize that they've already got a mindset that says that all religions are the same. There's no ultimate truth. And the way to get around that is to let the Holy Spirit lead you in asking good questions and to pace yourself. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Let him show you what to say next, what to do next. This morning we're looking at a message, not a massage. And we're going to be brief and we're going to be interactive. Often when it comes to sharing faith in New Zealand, Christianity's taken quite a backward step. So since the year 2000, most churches have upped their social services. And it's really common for any church in New Zealand, no matter what denomination, to experience people coming through the doors every week saying, I'm hungry and I'm homeless and I need help. And churches like other groups, like Rotary and other groups, give out that help. But sadly, when most people from the community come to the church for help, it's very rare that somebody prays for them. It's very rare someone explains something about the gospel to them. It's very rare that there's that connection made relationally. And so I think it's about three times greater within Baptist circles, increased our social services in the last 18 years, but the number of people coming to Christ has diminished significantly year after year after year. So people are getting a massage. They're not getting a message. The Rotary Club can give out food parcels and they can do it well. The different trusts and organisations in our community can put on dinners and give out food parcels and help with social housing, and they do it well. But what we offer is the gospel. And Christians have got to stop giving the massage and say, I need to understand the gospel, I need to know how to communicate it, and I need to find a way where the Spirit would lead me to communicate it so that people will listen and engage in conversation. We're doing good things, but the good things are not the most important thing. Imagine this, kids. Your mum's been saying to you for a whole hour, please tidy your room. Would you please tidy your room? Before you watch the TV program or anything else, tidy your room. Now you run up to mum and you give her a hug. Is that a good thing to do? Is it good to give your mum a hug? Absolutely. Is that the best thing mum wants right then? No, it's not. She wants your room tidied, you know? And so to show mum love, to give them the best, you might still give the hug, but tidy your room first. So often, we give good things without the best thing. Imagine you're in a building, multi-storied building, and it's on fire. And on this side of the building, it says you've been told that the fire's coming up the elevator system. And on this side of the building are some steps going down, and you're in the middle. It'd be a good thing to make everybody a hot chocolate, wouldn't it? Or a coffee. Of course it would. But it'd be a better thing to say, don't go that way, go this way and do it now. You know, so many people are so soft about the gospel. We're just going to love on people. Hope they get it. Hope they guess it. We're giving people a message. They need a message. And God needs us to be able to communicate the whole gospel clearly and to be able to prepare to share parts of the gospel as the Holy Spirit leads us. There's a young man, an evangelist, lives in Waikato, and he's got a talk on godtalk.nz. This is the gospel. This is how he would present. If he had the opportunity to present the whole gospel in a couple of minutes, this is what he would say. Thank you.
The gospel simply means good news. And all of us, if we're following Jesus, have at some point heard the gospel message. Maybe it's from our parents, a preacher, a friend, or a stranger, but they loved us enough to communicate the good news. Every day we're surrounded by people who don't know Jesus and who may be willing to follow him if only they knew. If we're going to share effectively, we need to know the good news. One of the best summaries I've ever heard of the gospel message is the four words: creation, fall, Jesus, restoration. Creation. God created us in this world, and he made everything perfect. Fall. We were separated from God when we used the free will that God gave us to do things that were evil and selfish, choosing to go our own way. Jesus. But God loved us enough, he had a rescue plan. Jesus died and he came back to life so that we could be forgiven for every wrong thing that we've ever done and we could become friends with him again. Restoration. And now, as his followers, he calls us to be part of his wider plan, which is not only to see all people restored to him, but to see the entire world restored to the way he intended it to be. The story of Jesus is at the center of this message, but the rest is important too, because if people don't believe in God, for example, then the rest of the gospel won't even relate to them. And if they do believe in God, but don't understand the way us humans have turned our backs on him and been separated from him, then there's no reason for Jesus to die and come back to life. A family once moved to a house near a train track. The father gave his children clear instructions never to play on the track. But one day, the father heard screaming. Following the noise outside, he found his son stuck on the tracks in the path of a coming train. Now the father only had time to free his son and push him off the tracks. The boy was saved, but the father was killed. That day, the father gave his life for his child. This is like what Jesus has done for us. In spite of God's warning, we chose to disobey him, deserving death, separating ourselves from our loving father. But God loved us and he stepped in to save us. We deserved to die, but Jesus died so we could live. Now we can be forgiven. We can escape hell. We can be restored into a friendship with God again, only if we would trust in him and follow his ways. Creation, fall, Jesus, restoration. It's a simple and useful summary of a truly powerful message. How often, though, should we expect to share the whole message? Should we be sharing it in every conversation? Or do you think it'd be more realistic to help people every day and in every way take steps towards Jesus through conversation? Imagine that you share the gospel with a friend one day. What are you supposed to say the next day? Share the same message again? No, not necessarily. We need to learn how to engage the gospel conversation. We need to find out where she's at in her views on God and religion. She may be disinterested in Jesus because she doesn't yet believe God even exists. Why doesn't she believe that? Well, that's a good question you could ask. You see, every day we can be involved in helping people take steps towards Jesus through learning to engage everyday conversations. There's a message to share, and it's important that we're prepared to share it. But we'll even be more effective in reaching people if we also learn how to chat with people in a natural way with parts of the gospel message in mind. As someone put it, we help people every day and in every way take steps towards Jesus. So what is the whole gospel? Creation, fall, Jesus, restoration. It's a simple message with Jesus at the center of it. There is a God who created all things and who can be known, but we're separated from him because we've all chosen to do wrong. However, God loved us and He made a way that we could be forgiven through Jesus' death and resurrection, so that now if we choose to ask for His forgiveness and turn to Him, we can be His children and we can be part of His wider plan to restore others and this world. We have been entrusted with a message that has changed many lives and that can continue to change many more. This is the gospel.
Morning. During your home groups or over lunch with your family, can I invite you to practice that for 2 minutes? One person turn to the other and just go, creation for Jesus restoration. And practice sharing the gospel, the whole gospel, if you get a chance, in just a minute. And swap over and reverse it. Now, can I have a volunteer who's willing to run out to the kitchen and grab a warm pizza for me? Anna, can you go to the kitchen? Go and see Mrs. Kitchen? Say, Russell needs a warm pizza. Have I got someone in this church who likes eating pizza and is willing to eat one on stage? Toby, your hands up first, mate. We'll take you. Come and sit up here. Good man. Now, I want you to look at this pizza shape on the wall here. Oh, brilliant, Colin. It's excellent. Just over here, sir. Excellent. Thanks, Anna. Toby, you sit in that chair. Just down there, sir. That's perfect. Perfect. I want you to look at the pizza here, and I want you to call out some of the things God can give us as people. What's He give us? Give me some things.
Love.
Peace, love. Now, let's put this in. Love. Obviously, forgiveness.
Healing,
absolutely. Healing. Healing from trauma, physical healing. What else? Give me some more.
Hope.
Pizza. And pizza. Someone said something else over here a second ago.
Blessings.
Oh, let's elaborate. What do you mean? The answer, good things. Just put good things. Good things. Okay. Now, I'm glad Toby likes eating pizza. I'm just going to put this on your lap for a minute, Tony. Toby, there you are, mate. Just relax. Put that on your lap. Now, I'm going to give you some pizza. Are you happy to eat pizza in church?
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Here we go. Now, Toby, I'm going to hand you some pizza. I want you to eat it, okay? Now, first of all, Toby, I want you to know that God wants to forgive you all your sins. And Toby wants to give you peace. Eat the peace, eat the peace. And Toby wants to heal your broken heart from things of the past. Toby, you need to know how good God is at blessing you and answering prayer. Toby, can you go with hope? God wants to give you hope. Did you know He wants to give you hope? And Toby, there's our forgiveness. And there's so much more, Toby, so much more. Take it all in. How do you feel, Toby? How do you feel? He's a good man. Sometimes when we see someone and they're a little bit open to God, we go, here, your marriage can be healed, your blessings are coming, and we want to shove it all in. Galatians 5 says this, be in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? That means as I'm talking to this great person who's shown an interest in God, I offer them the peace. They say, oh, look, I'm really worried about something. You know what? I've experienced God dealing with fear and anxiety. And you deal with that. Or it might be that they've got a situation at work and you come in at that point. You offer them the peace at a time that the Holy Spirit's saying. They don't have to have the whole lot at once. Bit overwhelming, bit off-putting. Even if it tastes good. But that's not the way to share the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Now, you're welcome to finish those up there or put them on a plate and finish them in the chair. Totally up to you, Toby. Thank you for that. I believe God wants to take you and me on an adventure. You need to know, you need to practice the full gospel. But you need to be ready when the Holy Spirit says, say this, do that. And you need to be patient enough to just obey for that one next piece, that next step. And then God will do some more work and there'll be another opportunity. We need to be willing to lead people respectfully with great listening skills, one step at a time to a Savior. Is Jesus the only way, the truth, and the life? You bet He is. Is knowing Jesus, does it transform life? You know it does. Is the best gift someone can have is a relationship with Jesus? Absolutely. But their mindsets are not quite there yet. So practice the gospel and let the Holy Spirit lead you one step at a time. Now, if you get to the place of hearing someone and they say, look, I'm ready. I want to hear how to connect with God, how to become a Christian. This illustration from Dave Mann's a good one. If you've been hanging around me for a while, I'll do a different one. But this is a goodie from Dave Mann. This is the gospel.
I was on a plane next to a guy who was about my age, who said he'd never thought about religion before. Now, I was genuinely intrigued, so I said, hey, I'm intrigued. Are you serious? You've never thought about why we're here on earth, not at a funeral or when someone's been really unwell? And he said, no. Then later in the conversation, he asked, everyone goes to heaven, right? Which was a bit awkward. So I said, actually, that's a bit awkward because, well, no, we don't. To get to heaven, the Bible says that we have to be perfect, which none of us are. And then to help him understand, I realized I needed to draw it out for him, really quick and simple. Now, being able to articulate our faith briefly is an important thing to be able to do. Let me show you what I showed him. The Bible says that in the beginning there was God. God made everything and he made it awesome. And then God made people. And he gave us free will, though, so that we could have relationship with him and each other. Without free will, we'd be like robots or slaves. The problem is that we chose to use that free will to go our own way instead of walking with God. We chose to do things that are wrong, that are selfish, and so on. And the Bible simply calls these things sin. And sin separates us from God. The problem with all this is that one day we're going to die. And there's only two places we can go, either to heaven, which is to be with God, or hell, which is to be separated from God. And so most religions recognize this. There's something wrong with the world, there's something out there, and we do different things to try and get back to God. We do good deeds, we give money to charities, but none of these things can really help us because none of them can make us perfect. And this is where Christianity brings something really amazing to the table. You see, Christianity tells us, to quote a Bible verse, that God loved us, he loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, so that whoever believed in him would not die, but live forever. You see, God came to earth as a human being, did nothing wrong, but then when he died and came back to life on that cross, that was to take the punishment for our sin. And what it means for us is very simple. As we journey in life, we have a choice to make. We can either choose to go our way, or we can choose to go God's way. Now, having shared this message, if you wanted to turn it back to a conversation, here are three simple questions you could ask. First of all, where do you see yourself to be in this picture? Secondly, where would you like to be in this picture? And if they said they were here and would like to be here, then the third question could simply be, can you see any reason why you wouldn't want to choose right now to commit to walk on God's path with your life? Now, suppose they said yes, a prayer is as simple as A, B, C. A, we admit that we've done wrong and we ask for God's forgiveness. B, because we believe in what Jesus did at the cross for us. And then C, we commit to follow his path for the rest of our lives. However, supposing they said they weren't ready to do this, we could simply ask, well, what might be hindering you? And then we could choose to engage that conversation. You know, the Christian message is really very simple. And if a person can accept that God exists and that evil and wrongdoing is a problem on this planet, the Christian message is very good news. And with a simple drawing like this, it's possible to communicate it clearly when we have a chance. In fact, even without paper or a digital device, it's possible to communicate this message, letting the drawing play itself out in our minds. In Romans 10:14, it says, how will people know if someone doesn't tell them? And Peter says in 1 Peter 3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. As God's people on earth, it is our responsibility to know how to share this message. And this drawing can help. So why not revise this drawing and even practice it so that you will not fail to communicate a simple and clear message when the opportunity comes? I hope this helps.
Awesome. Just want to say something in closing. Over the years, when someone comes to Christ, there's normally a whole heap of people involved. It's not normally one person. Normally when someone gets to the point of saying, I want to become a Christian, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus now, you'll find half a dozen folk have loved on, shared with, answered questions, built relationships with that person. But I've probably had the privilege of being that person to help them cross the line about 800 times down through the years. And I've found rather than just pray a prayer, Scripture's more powerful. So when someone says to me, Russell, I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What do I do now to connect with God? What do I do now? And what I've been doing for years is reading Acts 2, 38 to 39 to them. Peter the apostle and the apostles are asked exactly the same question. Huge multitude, thousands of people were there saying, we believe. We believe what you're saying. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What do we do? And this is what Peter said. He said, turn back to God. Acts 2:38, which is to say sorry for specific sins and determined to stop doing them. To be baptized, to be buried under water in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you'll be given the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children. It's for everyone our Lord God will choose, no matter where they live. I found using scriptures more powerful than a simple prayer. That's what they did in biblical times. That's what they said in biblical times. I want to say the same thing today because God backs up his gospel. Would you stand, please? Let me pray for you and for me as we look at this week ahead. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love being your family. We love the fact, God, that we're different colors and different cultures, and we know how to have fun together. We love the fact that, God, when you start doing something and we get on board with your plans, it's unstoppable. Amen. We love the fact, God, that you put dreams and visions in the heart of every person here this morning. And so, Lord, we just stand before you and say, here we are, send us. And in the course of this week, God, give us the discipline and the passion to practice sharing the gospel with a friend, with a relative, with somebody. And give us a desire, Lord, to hear your voice. To know what pieces to share with our neighbours and our workmates and our friends and our relatives this week. God, we go in your name. We go into all the world, and so much of the world lives with us here in Whangarei. We go into all the world, and we're determined to talk about Jesus and teach them everything you taught us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Send us. Amen. Bless you, family. We'd love you to stay for lunch. It'll take 15, 20 minutes to get everything set up. If you're a visitor and you haven't brought something, that's absolutely fine. Please stay so we get to enjoy your company.